became vulnerable and pierceable and stabbable and killable so that you and I might be forever protected by his own flawless character and righteousness so that the schemes and lies of the evil one might never penetrate us. Christ disarmed himself before the enemy so that he might arm us forever against the enemy.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and boy, that's such a powerful word that we just heard. The vulnerability of Christ himself provides the protection for us through the truth of the gospel of what was accomplished at Calvary. What a powerful message.
Yeah, I mean, this Paul's talking about the armor of God. And the connection for him, he's going to show us, and this is what we're talking about today, is that the armor of God actually is his own armor. And it comes to us through the vulnerability of Christ, who made himself woundable on the cross in our place when he died for our sin and shame. And he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God and have the protection of his enduring character so that the devil can't touch us. So Jesus made himself woundable so that we might be protected. And that's the wonder of the gospel. This book, this beautiful book of Ephesians, ends with this huge crescendo as we see the gospel in this amazing picture of clarity with the armor of God. It's beautiful.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we conclude our series in Ephesians. This is part 3 of the sermon, Standing Firm. The text, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24.
So we've seen the reason for the armor, why we need it. We're embroiled in a spiritual battle. We've seen the function of the armor, how it works. Our souls are armored with a gospel identity. And now let's talk about the source of the armor, where it's from. The source of the armor. Twice in this passage, Paul tells us exactly where this armor is from. In verse 11 and 13, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Verse 13, "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." So this is the armor of God. It's God's armor. Did you know that God has armor? God has armor. He does. If you go to the Old Testament, in a number of places, God is depicted as what is called the divine warrior. The divine warrior who fights, goes into battle on behalf of his people. For example, in Exodus, when the Hebrew people are coming out of Egypt, they go through the Red Sea. Remember that big scene as the waters come and flood out Pharaoh's chariots? And that there's a song that Miriam, Moses' sister, sings to the Lord on behalf of the people. And she celebrates God, the divine warrior who has strode out into battle and has been invincible and defeated Pharaoh and his armies and rescued the people of God, brought them to safety on the other side. The divine warrior has won our battle. We see it again a number of places, but in Isaiah picks up this theme of the divine warrior who strides out as Israel needs God to once again go into battle against their enemies. They're looking forward to this. Listen to how Isaiah describes God as the divine warrior. Isaiah 11, verses 4 and 5. "Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." Isaiah 59, 17. "He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head." Now, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that fascinating? When God strides out into battle to go against the forces of darkness, to defend and to rescue his people, how does he array himself? What does he arm himself with? Righteousness, faithfulness, salvation. And what makes this divine warrior invincible on the battlefield is the imperviousness of his own divine character. Satan cannot find a chink in God's flawless character. There are no gaps to exploit. That's why God wins all his battles. And now watch this. Paul says, God has given you his own armor. He has clad you. We are clad in the armament of God's own character. We are clad in the armament of God's own character, which means the forces of darkness cannot touch you. They cannot touch you. You are covered by the flawless character of God himself. The divine warrior has clad his own people in his own very armor, which means Satan has no dominion over you. He cannot pierce you. He cannot stab you. He cannot kill you. Because as Jesus said, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Friends, you are perfectly safe now and forever in Christ alone. Your life is hidden in him. And now, just think with me for a moment. Think what it cost Christ to clothe you with this armor. If this armor is so impenetrable, how come Christ got pierced and stabbed and died on the cross? He wasn't wearing it. He was not wearing the armor on that day. Rather than keeping that armor for himself so that evil couldn't touch him, Jesus shed his armor. He hung naked on the cross, and he allowed evil to pierce him through so that you and I might be clothed in the armor of God. He became vulnerable and pierceable and stabbable and killable so that you and I might be forever protected by his own flawless character and righteousness, so that the schemes and lies of the evil one might never penetrate us. Christ disarmed himself before the enemy so that he might arm us forever against the enemy. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus hung naked so that you might wear his armor. He became vulnerable so that you might become invulnerable. He died so that you might live. You see, he's your substitute in every way. So stand firm in your gospel identity, friends. Stand firm in your gospel identity. Friends, all this armor, it's already yours in Jesus Christ. He's your truth, he's your righteousness, he's your peace, he's your faithfulness, he's your salvation, he's your spirit, he's your word. But you have to step into it. You gotta put it on. It's all yours, and yet it's another thing to step out into it, to embrace it, to make it your own. Paul is saying, stand firm in the gospel identity that is already yours in Jesus Christ. Step out into who you are already in Jesus Christ. I want you to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling that you've been called to. I want you to be imitators of God because you're beloved children of God. I want you to walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Lord. I want you to put off your old ways, your old self. I want you to be renewed by the spirit of your minds. I want you to put on your new self in Jesus Christ. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit under his control and mastery. I want you to put on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Do you realize all those statements, they're all just, they're different ways of saying the same thing. I want you to act like yourself. the person you really are in Jesus Christ. Not your old self, your new self. And you have everything you need for life and godliness. Jesus has given it all to you. The Spirit indwells you. Your Father is showing you the way. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. Don't you dare let the world tell you who you are. Don't you dare let your flesh tell you who you are. Don't you dare let the devil tell you who you are. Let Christ and Christ alone tell you who you are. The divine life of God has fallen like a seed into the old decaying stump of our former lives. And it is rooted there and is sprouted and growing and it is slowly taking over everything. And so Paul says, let that be your new life. Act like yourself. Stand firm in your gospel identity, this new life that has come to life in you. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You are alive in Christ. Now live like it. Live like it. And then Paul says, peace be to you, brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Amen.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today. As we come to this end of our discussion on the book of Ephesians, Pastor Philip, we have covered a lot of territory here.
We have.
It might be beneficial for our listeners, you know, to just kind of outline some of the path we've taken here.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ephesians begins with these huge, beautiful sentences on the God who's loved us from before time, how he's drawn us to himself through the blood of Jesus Christ and sent the Holy Spirit to seal us and make us part of this beautiful multi-ethnic family, how he's torn down the dividing walls that used to stand between Jews and Gentiles and insiders and outsiders. But now we're all one family through the Spirit of God. By the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no distinctions. We're now this beautiful family. And then he prays that we would together discover the love of Christ that has brought us together in this wonderful family. And then he talks about all the gifts that he's given us and the resources to build and equip us as the body of Christ, that we might be mature and complete. He talks about the new life that we have as children of God and how we're to live differently as we walk worthy of the gospel. He's going to talk about all the household and how the gospel changes every relationship in our marriage and at work and with our kids, and how all the dimensions of our lives are now being influenced but and shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ as the Spirit leads us and guides us and we walk worthy of the gospel and we're renewed by the Spirit. And then he's going to talk about this beautiful protection of our identity in Christ that's armed us against the forces of the devil. And then he leaves us with this beautiful blessing on our lives because we are so blessed with the grace and peace that are ours in Jesus Christ. So it's this grand survey of doctrine and practical application. Paul's really given us a lot of everything in this series, hasn't he?
Well, he sure has. And, you know, we can never exhaust God's word. So whether you've been reading Ephesians every day since you've come to saving faith, or you just got your first Bible a week ago, beloved, let me ask you that. So somebody's new to saving faith. This is the first time they're going to do a study in Ephesians. What would you recommend would be some of their top takeaways from that?
Yeah, well, I think there's some big theology that Paul wants us to really walk away with. One is that we are in Christ. If we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we are hidden. Our lives are hidden in Christ. We belong. We're in Christ. So our new life is actually in him. And that union with Christ changes everything. It's our new identity. It gives us purpose and meaning. It becomes the pattern that we live in. And it's the route, the life that we're, the path that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us on. And so learning to say yes to the Spirit is going to help us look more and more like Jesus to the glory of the Father. And that's our new life. That's a huge theme. Another theme that Paul is driving on is like, we're part of now this new multi-ethnic family, people from every nation, tribe, tongue. We're now this unique body. And we need to take that seriously, because it's together that we're going to grow. It's together that we're going to learn the fullness of the love of Christ for us. We need each other desperately. So remembering our identity in Christ, our community in the body of Christ, in this multi-ethnic family. And then the practicality of like every part of your life is an opportunity to be with Jesus and learn how to do life. That's what marriage is for. That's what parenting is for. That's what work is for. That's what life is for. So you're living in the curriculum, the very place where God's going to do this transforming work in your life. It's everyday life. It's every morning when you wake up, you're on mission and Jesus is going to do this work. And so every part of your life is sacred to God, and every moment of every day is an opportunity to be with Jesus and learn from him how to do life. And so that's very practical, right?
It sure is. Yeah. Man, that's be encouraged, beloved. Our listeners, you have to be encouraged. In Christ, we have acceptance, we have adoption, we have an inheritance, we're sealed with the Spirit, we've been redeemed, we're saved. There's so much there. And you know, when I'm around you, you're really passionate about this passage. So let me ask you, what is it in Ephesians that has personal application for you? When you think about the book, how have you applied this in your life?
I think something that I've really cherished about this series is the reminders from God's word that our lives are hidden in Christ. And sometimes I can get discouraged. You know, it feels like every day I wake up, I do the same kinds of things. It feels very ordinary, you know, life. And struggles are, you know, I still have the same basic struggles that I had when I was 20, you know, they've changed. Maybe they're not as intense, but like my personality is the same. And so you can kind of look at your life and go, man, I wish I was making more progress. I wish, you know, I wish I had more traction, right? Or there were more breakthrough moments. So much feels just routine and ordinary. But I think what Paul's helping me see and remember is that God has glory for my future. He wants and wills and will achieve my conformity to the image of Christ. Like, I will stand before the Father blameless and pure and holy. And so God's got this, and Christ will be glorified in my life. And I just got to keep being faithful and keep showing up and keep doing the small things, keep fighting the fight, keep doing those daily things. Because the grand trajectory, which I don't have full ownership of, right, is in God's hands. And he who began a good work in me will continue it on to completion. And that gives me great hope. And I think just that deep understanding that Christ is in me and I am in him, and that means there's glory coming, and I can trust God for that as the Spirit leads and guides me. That's very comforting for my life. How about you? How about you? What's your takeaway?
Oh, boy. Marriage. You know, Ephesians, it's the primer. It's the manual on marriage. And the practical and personal application for me is this understanding of the differences between what a husband needs and what the wife needs. We're commanded, right? Husbands, love your wife. But it says, wives, respect your husbands. There's a difference. I have to create an environment where it's safe for her to share, where she's protected, where we are having intimate and deep conversations, meaningful conversations, where vulnerability and transparency are there. That mantle falls on me to love her in that way. She's to respect me. And I've seen it in marriages, and certainly have experienced it, when we're not playing out our roles, that negative energy that it creates. Mm. I don't feel respected, so I'm not going to be kind and attentive and loving. I'm not being kind and attentive. She's not being respectful.
It spirals.
Yes. It just, and it's a negative energy, and the opposite occurs. And to learn that you don't do quid pro quo, this is the teaching from Ephesians for me. I'm commanded to do this whether I get it or not. Mm. That is, whether it's reciprocated or not. That's not the point. I'm commanded to do this. And so it has helped and encouraged and guided and challenged and certainly convicted my heart many times. But yeah. Lamita and I are able to minister to other couples. We can tell them about our struggles, right? Some of the minefields we've stepped on, but how we have found grace through just being obedient to God's word here. I'm so glad you asked us that.
Well, you know, for me personally, I remember hearing those messages, giving those messages, and just walking away with such deep conviction, right? The standard is Christ and his sacrificial love for his bride. And we know what that looks like. Mm. And we fall so short, you know, of loving our families that way and our wives that way. And so the upward call of to bear the image of Christ, and this is a deep and profound, convicting, but profound calling as well, right? And thank God we have the Spirit in us, leading and guiding us. We're not alone on that journey. Otherwise, we would be utter failures, more than we are, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Recipient of grace. We got just a little time left. The letter in Ephesians, Paul ends it with, "Grace be with you who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible." What do you have for our listeners as we close out this series in Ephesians?
I love that. It's a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah,
at the end.
It is.
And let's just end with a blessing over us and over our listeners, those who are joining us today. Let's just do a quick prayer here. Father, we pray that you would bless and keep each one who's listening today, that your grace would be near. Holy Spirit, would you lead us and guide us? Jesus, would you be all that we need as we trust you and look to you? May your grace and your presence be with us all as we cling to you for the glory of Christ by the power of the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. You know, beloved, as we continue to seek the Lord in prayer, we have a resource written with the goal of renewing your prayer life. You know, far too often we approach God, we're just preoccupied with our request. We treat God like he's a slot machine, hoping for wealth, healing, or a change in circumstances, when he is really our Heavenly Father seeking to have a relationship with us. Pastor Lutzer has written a brand new book. It's called Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. In this book, Pastor Lutzer challenges us to embrace this shift in our focus, knowing God comes before asking God. The first and primary purpose of prayer is always fellowship and intimacy with God, not getting what we want. Oh, isn't it time you moved from a transactional relationship with God to truly enjoying him? Now, this is the second to the last day we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. And we want to get this copy to you or to help you or someone that you love. It has insightful teaching, and we want you to have this now. So, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com, or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. If pursuing God and becoming like Christ is your primary goal, you'll be able to navigate the disappointment of unanswered prayer with God's very grace. Imagine entering prayer preoccupied with your need, only to leave preoccupied with your God. The insight from Scripture found in Pastor Lutzer's book will transform your prayer life forever. This is one of the last few days now that you can get this resource. Simply contact us at livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Or you can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614.
Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.